Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, it's the one and only Pharrell on a Bench on CBS Sports Radio. We're in the Quicken Loans studios in New York. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Thursday night, Jets, Browns. Friday night, UCF, Penn State, and USC all have games. Thank God we got a great Friday night this week to be excited about. Usually there's a crappy MAC game on or something, right? Now we got three good games. Saturday, tons of games. Sunday, pros. How about Chargers, Rams? Sunday night, New England, Detroit. PharrellOnTheBench.com has all the picks. Every sport, every day, everything. Baseball, boxing, MMA. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Now, don't forget tomorrow morning a new episode of Pharrell on the Bets. Pharrell on the Bets, like, that's a sports betting podcast I do on Westwood One. It drops tomorrow, 6:30 a.m. Every Tuesday to Sunday, a new episode. Check it out and subscribe free. The show's free. And follow us on Twitter at OnTheBets, WWO. Also follow us at Scott Pharrell and at OnTheBenchCBS, because if you do, it's simple. Click follow. No big deal. And here's a good news piece for you, is that I don't sit on there all day tweeting everything that comes in my face. You know, a thought that comes in my face. I don't tweet every thought that comes in my face like everyone else. You know what I mean? Is there anything more painful than these people that tweet every thought in their mind all day long that, like, they just never stop tweeting? Here's what I do with people that do that. I just unfollow you. There's nothing worse than someone that never stops with all their tweeting. Does that bother you at all, Carver High, the nonstop tweeters that just, that's all they do all day for a living?
There's a few people that I could definitely do without.
Painful. Now, tell me this. So we have a podcast of this show, Pharrell on the Bench, that drops every night after the show on Twitter. And also the next day on Twitter. And on Facebook.com/Pharrell on the Bench. And on CBSSportsRadio.com, our network website, which is so fantastic, so incredible that I've never looked at it once. Because I know how good it is. I've already seen, because all of the stories that we do, like guests, they get on there and then they put them on and then they go out into the Twitter world. And then I see how fantastic the site is. I don't have to go to it because I already know how good it is. It's incredible. And the people that run it are incredible. I've never met them, but I know they do a good job because it's huge. Dropbacks when trailing by 25 points in the regular season since 2001. Tom Brady's done it 30 times since 2001. Josh Allen's done it 25 times in 2 weeks.
Not a good scene.
The gap between New England and the AFC is starting to close, according to Brett Sobleski. They lack, it says here that the team lacks playmakers, and that they tend to lay one or two eggs every season. But this one here, he says, is a, it's the end of them.
They never learn. Every year in September, somebody puts out one of these. New England's finally done. The gap is closing in the AFC when they lose one freaking game in September. And guess what? The same thing will happen this year. Oh, well, they lost a game, week two game down in Jacksonville. You know, they're going to go 12-4.
It says here,
that simple.
Originally, the Jags and Steelers were the only two teams worthy of consideration as Giant Slayers. But now the Bengals and Chiefs and Dolphins and Broncos, it says, are all 2-0.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know what? All those teams are going to beat the Patriots in January.
None of them will beat them, but the Chiefs will win. They're going to win that division and go to the playoffs. I think the Chiefs are going, but they're not beating anybody. They never do. So that's that. And the Broncos, I believe the Broncos and Miami will both fail miserably. I think the Bengals are a wild card team. But after I saw them blow that lead to Baltimore the other night, and they were up 28-7 and then quit playing. That is not a good sign. I also, for the first time, thought that they would not make a wild card after I saw them blow that lead and then barely win. Although I did hit that game and cover, by the way. But the gap is closing, according to these people, that the gap is closed. And now the Patriots show that they've been outcoached in two of their last three games. Eagles in the Super Bowl, now Jacksonville this weekend. And so they're finished, apparently, according to this guy. No offense to him. I don't know him, so I'm not trying to put him out to dry.
Yeah, they're finished.
But it's a pretty dangerous way to make a living, guaranteeing the Patriots are finished after they lose a game. I will say this, though. I thought their performance yesterday was pathetic. I just – I could I, I wasn't even watching that. That's how bad they looked. I was like, what is this? This is not the New England Patriots. That's all I know. I was like, that is not the New England Patriots. That is a team I don't recognize. They do not look good. Now they've gone out and... but they're playing the Lions this week, so how do you think they're going to look this week? I mean, they're going to look about 40 points good, aren't they? I bet they put 40 on them at least.
It was too hot for them.
That is the biggest wussy thing I've
ever
heard.
Brady now 1-5 when the game time temperature is over 88 degrees. They put that one on the screen.
Okay, so if they play him in January in the AFC title game in Jacksonville, it'll be 70 and cool.
Which means the Patriots will win.
Yeah. So they got Josh Gordon today, who's been an enigma, right, in the NFL. Superstar talent never plays because of drugs and injuries. So, and then he did the proverbial pathetic letter to the fans of Cleveland. Is there anyone left in sports that doesn't write a letter to the fans after they leave? I mean, you know what I'm going to do when I leave? I'm going to moon everyone. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a picture of my ass pressed against a bus window as I'm, you know, getting driven out of town. But why do these guys write these stupid letters? Oh, here's Derek Jeter penning a letter to the Athletic or to the Players Tribune. Or who can find the best way to leverage a letter to the fans? Is it with the local newspaper? Maybe a special high-priced web sports page that you pay money for monthly, like the Athletic. Maybe it's the Undefeated for blacks only. Or maybe it's just the one he wrote it with? I can't keep track of all these things that they write for. The Athletic, and then there's the Players Tribune, and then there's the Undefeated. They don't like white people. This is all happening now. Players just can't stop writing letters. And in fact, most of them can't write or read. So what they do is they have their agent do it for them and pretend like it's them. How pathetic. Huge shout out to the city of Cleveland. This place is always going to be like home to me. Yeah, my ass. How about rehab's your home? That's been your home, dude. I love it here. I'm honored and blessed to have grown up and started my life with such passionate and motivated people. When all you do is lose, you live in Loserville. Thanks, Loserville, for having me here for the last few years when I never played. I mean, honestly, like, it's so pathetic.
Did you have a problem with DeRozan doing that when he was traded?
When DeRozan was traded.
Yeah, I just think it's very heartfelt, sincere, and I think it sends a great message, and it presents a side of a player that we really don't see.
No, I don't care to hear about how much you love the fans. It's the cheesiest feta I've ever seen in my life. Like, they don't listen. They like the fans for like 2 minutes. When they come out on the field, everybody's cheering, or when they score a touchdown and everybody's happy, the Lambo leap and all this other nonsense. But the players, let me explain to you what they care about. Money.
My shoes cost more than your house.
That's it. All they care about is money. They don't care about the fans. Or where they live, or that they have some apartment in that city for the season, and then they go home right when it's over. They run out the door. I've never understood. I really don't. The cheesy, fake, like, I mean, just these infantile letters they write. I just don't get it. Like, no one, I've never, like, can you imagine? Oh, and how about the fat chick or something that sits there and thinks that he's actually writing to her? Like, she's convinced in her mind that he's writing this letter to me. I'm his number one fan. I'm his number one fan. I loved him from day one. I've been his biggest supporter. And he's writing this letter to me. I might as well have just said my name on it, Tiffany. You know, writing letters. Are you kidding me? Do people really still do that? They write letters to people after they get fired or they get traded? I mean, like, thanks for everything. I appreciate all the drug dealers in town that gave me all that good blow and weed I've been doing the whole time. I never played in any games because I was so high. Sorry for being, you know, drugged out my entire time in Cleveland. Sorry I missed my entire career because I was high. Sorry. Sorry about that. I just wanted to write a letter today. Thanks, dude. Appreciate it. Are you going to write another letter when Bill Belichick cuts you? God, I've never understood that. I really don't.
I think you're undervaluing closure here, Pharrell.
Closure. Was there ever an opener? He never played. So there was no opening. There's closure, though? There's no closure. Closure will be to see if the guy, they got an over-under on 10 games, if he'll play 10 games there. That's how little people trust him. that they don't think he can play 10 games because he's always injured or drugged. I mean, let's face it. I mean, that's what he dug his own grave, right? He made this bed. He's got to lie in it. He's the one that gave himself this reputation, nobody else. Joe in Providence.
What's going on, Scotty?
Hey, dude.
It's a tight week. Double JMOs all around, but you got to put on my tab, bro.
Double JMOs on the house. I got it.
You know, I want to touch on a couple things real quick. First of all, Josh Gordon, nobody here is, like, you know, excited about this. Everybody's real skeptical. I mean, we saw it with Haynesworth. We saw it with Ocho Cinco. Bill will do anything. He'll bring in anybody and take a chance, and that's cool. But nobody's banking on this.
Randy Moss. Randy Moss worked out. I mean, I think Josh Gordon has that kind of talent. He's never made it come to fruition. I think that he's as talented as Moss, but, you know, I don't think Josh Gordon will ever make the Hall of Fame because he's never played enough, and his career's already, like, cut in half because he's missed all these seasons, and now he's finally playing, and people don't even trust him to play 10 games.
Even when Randy didn't want to play, he was playing. Real quick, you were talking about the strippies. Take it from someone who used to work there. The first week, you're like, wow, I got a cool job. After that, it's like the most depressing place in the world. Anyone who goes and hangs out at a strip club is a bum ass. That's just the way it is.
That's it. I mean, I know all these things. Like, I've been to every one of them. I went to one in Vegas one night with these dudes, and I was like, what am I doing here? Do you remember? I was like, ask him. Carver, I didn't even go. And then he goes, well, what happened last night at the strip club? I go, I left. It took me longer to get an Uber from the strip club back to the D than it did sitting. I spent more time standing in the parking lot waiting to leave than I did in the strip club having chicks pretend like they like me. It's the most pathetic thing in the human race, having some fake, phony, naked chick try to pretend that she likes you for, hey, give me $20, and I'll pretend like I'm your friend. You know, kiss my ass. How's that sound, honey? And I'm in there looking at scores. Like, I'm looking at my score because I got bets going. I got tickets on every game. I'm in there trying to concentrate on my betting, and I got some chick trying to grab my onions for $25. I'm like, please. You want to go upstairs? No, I want you to go upstairs and kill yourself. How's that sound? I thought that was a pretty good way to end that conversation right there, to be honest with you. I think it would be. Oh, but this story I'm hearing here is the most depressing thing in the world. Did you see this story tonight breaking? A 22-year-old man has been charged with first-degree murder in the death of an Iowa State golfer, Celia Barquin Arosemena. She was the 2018 Big 12 champion and the school's first female athlete of the year. She was found dead at a golf course in Ames, Iowa. Police have arrested a guy and have charged him with murder. And they followed an investigation of several law enforcement agencies. Officers were called to the Coldwater Golf Course Monday morning after golfers located a bag with no one around it. They found her body some distance away, and she had been assaulted and murdered. She's a native of Spain, and she was done playing golf there and was getting her master's in civil engineering. A total loss, a tragic loss, senseless loss of an acclaimed student-athlete, a woman. We mourn her family and friends in Spain, her teammates as well that knew her. She won the Big 12 championship by 3 strokes in April. She was a 3-time all-conference, earned first-team all-Big 12 academic honors 3 times. She was a genius student. Qualified for the NCAA regionals all 4 years she competed. Everyone's devastated. They found her murdered on the golf course by some loser guy that stalked her and raped her and killed her. I mean, like, is this, what kind of world do we live in when you can't even go golfing now without being raped and murdered? In Ames, Iowa, for Christ's sakes. Does that make any sense to anyone at all, what I just read you? That is the most depressing story I think I've ever heard. Some poor girl, 22 years old, playing a round of golf. She's a champion golfer. And some drip rapes her and murders her? Oh, my God, dude. You are so dead in prison. They are going to beat you and kill you and drag you and cut you in half. They're going to cut you in half. And what they're going to eat you is what they're going to do. And I hope they do that. That is the most senseless thing I think I've ever heard. What kind of world do we live in when that happens, honestly? Hey, Mom, I'm just going to go play 18. I'll be back in 3 hours. I'm just going to go work on my short game. All right, honey, have a good day. And then you never come home. Like they say, hug your kids every day. Tell them you love them. Because in this world we live in, woo, who gets murdered at the golf course? Have you ever heard of anyone being murdered at a golf course? Well, now you have.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So the official line from the Superbook in Vegas on Canelo Triple G is a pick'em and minus a -110 on each fighter. So they've already got odds up for the trilogy fight. And Manny and Floyd, too, odds are out. I guess.
If it actually happens.
So here we go. He beat him back in 2015. I could have sworn I saw odds or something. Oh, Mayweather minus 220, Pacquiao plus 180. So Mayweather's still a big favorite over Pacquiao. Do you want to see that fight again?
Absolutely not.
There you go. Carson Wentz cleared and will start against the Colts in Philadelphia. He was 11-2 as a starter, blew out his knee and his back finally. Everything I've seen of him makes me very worried about his, to be honest with you, his knee. I just, he does not look like a guy that can run around and like he's got any kind of, I mean, you cannot deny that that thing looks like a monstrosity on him. It's like he's carrying around a piece of steel in his pants. Bottom line, I'm not buying it that he's going to go out and go 11-2 again. I'm not buying it. I just don't think he looks to be the same guy. I think he's a great young talent. I thought he had a great start to his career, and we'll see where he goes after this injury. I've never been a big fan of, you know, I know that they can fix knees now, and you can have a blowout knee or two, and then you can still rebuild it and play. I never feel as though it's stable again ever. That it'll ever be what it was, right? Your original, you know, knee, and then you rebuild it once, twice. You're never the same, if you ask me. So I'm, you know, I'm wait and see on this guy. I think he was really good when he played. And I, you know, they obviously won the Super Bowl with Foles. The question I always asked was, would he ever win a Super Bowl after he got there, you know, with a knee brace on, you know, he never played in it, and the other guy won the MVP in the Super Bowl. Will that guy win a Super Bowl? Will Wentz win one with the Eagles ever in his career? And I have my doubts. That's just me. I have my doubts that he'll do it. Everybody else thinks it's automatic, right? Like Dan Marino, automatic, going to win a Super Bowl, right? How'd that work out? Right? I mean, honestly, everybody thinks it's just automatic that a guy's got talent, he's going to win the Super Bowl, right? Well, didn't they say Aaron Rodgers, he won one, and that he's going to win a bunch of them? He's going to win a bunch, right? Well, how'd that work out? He's a great quarterback. There's no denying it. Do you think he looks good right now with that knee all banged up? He looked terrible to me running around. He can't run at all, and I think he looks like he's one hit away from being finished.
I don't think we're going to know until he gets in an actual game and plays. It does look very bulky. It does look like – but, I mean, guys have played with stuff like that before. We'll have to see. Listen, he's their guy. They're going to play him.
And Mike Wallace simple. Got hurt. I heard he hurt his ankle. Is it season ending? I heard it might be.
Yeah, it's possible. I haven't heard definitively yet.
Self-inflicted mistakes undermine the Eagles, according to Peterson. Self-inflicted wounds is what he called it. They're 1-1. They barely beat the Falcons, but barely wins if you win the game. Looking back, Foles said, I'll look at the film. I think the thing I'll take away from this game is how hard the team fought. Tampa Bay played a tremendous game. We never once turned on one another. We put up. We never put our heads down. We kept our heads up. We kept fighting. I still think the Eagles are a good football team, but I don't know about great. I think they had their season.
I think that they're also
in not repeating.
I don't think they're going to repeat, but I think they're their best team in that division by a lot.
I do, too. Shady, cracked rib. He's not going to play this week.
And they're saying that he might, that it's not cracked. There's been back-and-forth reports on that.
How about this? The FedEx Field, 20,000 empty seats at their home opener. That is a really troubling sign. I have never seen, this is me, watching a Redskins game not sold out, a home opener.
Especially coming off a big week one win on the road in Arizona. They played pretty well. Kind of bizarre.
It really is. Players of the week, Yasiel Puig hit .429 with 5 homers. Verlander, the pitcher of the month, AL player of the week, 2-0, 21 Ks, 1.93 ERA. And he's with Kate Upton. That's all that matters. He married her. The Mets are back here at the new flagship home is our sister station, WCBS 880, All News 880. Isn't that what they call it?
Yes, News 880. It's an all-news station.
All-news. The Mets are leaving WR and coming back here to Entercom and 880. They'll be on. So every night now, there'll be Yankees games on the Fan, and 880 will have the Mets.
Which is how it was in the old days, but backwards.
Right. So
the
now.
Mets were on the Fan and the Yankees were on, say, 880.
There you go. So now we'll at least be able to get Mets players on the radio here in New York, because after the Mets left the Fan, they would no longer cooperate with the Fan and give players to the Fan and all their shows. And then the Yankees got on board with the Fan, and it didn't matter anymore because no one cares about the Mets to begin with.
Pretty much.
But now the Mets are back, so we'll have access to all the national, or, you know, all of the players on the Fan and on 880, and I'm sure the Fan will still get them too, because they're all in the family, and then everything. And then if we talk about the Yankees or Mets, we'll hear how we're too New York centric. I just want you to feel good about yourself, because I never talk about the Mets. And when I do, it's usually not good. Dwayne Wade says he'll return to the Heat for one last dance. Just what we all need. I think, you know.
I mean, when's it going to end?
I loved his career, but he's finished. So he's just stealing money from a baby.
Enough
yeah, he
already.
Is. He's finished.
Burrell, he was the closer last year. He's not done.
Oh, he's the closer. I'll give you that. He plays for 10 minutes a game.
Average 13 off the bench. That's nothing to sniff at.
I don't have a problem with that. If he plays 10, 15 minutes a game, that's who he is now. But that's the end of the road, Shep. End of the road.
Be carrying those bags of money all the way
George,
to that end of that
yeah,
road.
Yeah, George in L.A.
For real, what's going on, brother?
What up, G?
Not much. Hey, check this out, man. The Rams, they don't even need a damn kicker. They're bringing their punter, Johnny Hecker. He kicks extra points, field goals, whatever they want. This Rams team, brother, is on a roll.
Yeah.
They might come every week.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think they're the best team in the NFC, believe it or not. And I think both sides of the ball, their defense is the best. And then the Vikings, if you ask me. I think the Bears have a good defense, but I don't think both sides of the ball are that good. So I'm not buying the Bears at all. The Bears won't even win the North.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But the Rams are going to the Super Bowl, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And probably play either the Patriots or Jacksonville, I would predict.
Yeah, I don't think absolutely is a word we can use in the NFL.
Look, I'll say this. Through 2 weeks, and I don't like to go nuts about 2 weeks, they've probably been the most impressive team through 2 weeks. Now, they beat up on two garbage teams.
Right.
The Raiders and the Cardinals both stink. But through 2 weeks, pretty impressive.
Yeah, no doubt. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, motorcycle, or boat insurance, you can get that there, too, at geico.com. When we come back, I'll take calls the rest of the show.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so 855-212-4227. So the guy that called earlier tonight talking about Clay Matthews hit on Cousins, a lot of people thought it was BS.
I did.
Well, the NFL has doubled down on it. They said a rushing defender is prohibited from committing such intimidating and punishing acts as stuffing a passer into the ground or unnecessarily wrestling or driving him down after the passer has thrown the ball, even if the rusher makes his initial contact with the passer within the one-step limitation provided in the example of a quarterback throwing the ball and then getting hit. When tackling a passer who is in a defenseless posture during or just after throwing a pass, a defensive player must not unnecessarily or violently throw him down or land on top of him with all or most of his weight. Instead, the defensive player must strive to wrap up the passer with the defensive player's arms and not land on the passer with all or most of his body weight. How pathetic is that? This is football, man. When you sack the quarterback, my entire life, you sack the quarterback as punishment, right? Pain day. The job of the – can you imagine telling Deacon Jones not to land on a quarterback? Can you imagine?
I thought it was a really, really bad call. I mean, he had his hands on him as the ball was being thrown. I just – I thought it was bad. And it did change the game. There's no question about it. Changed the game.
Yeah, believe me, it changed the game. But they still didn't win. Is there anything worse than those stupid ties? I mean, honest to God, it really is embarrassing. So there you go. I thought I'd tell you what the rule was. Dwayne in Texas, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, Burrell?
Hey, man.
Hey, can I get double shot of Crown Royal?
Yeah, absolutely. Crown rocks.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
No, I was just calling to talk a little about Le'Veon Bell. And I heard earlier you said you were done with him, and I'm kind of done with him too. In every other aspect or any other job that somebody goes through, they have to show up to get paid, and this dude's not doing it. So,
yeah, none of it at all. This is repetitive, but none of it makes sense to me. It just makes no sense at all. This whole, I don't want to be touched, and I don't want to wear and tear on my body, and I want my money and all this other. I mean, they've given him more money than anyone in the league, and then that's not good enough. And then they could never come to terms with him on a deal. So just get rid of his ass. I mean, get rid of him now then. Just end it. Trade him. I mean, do something. Give him to someone else. Make him someone else's problem for 14 weeks. No one on the team wants him anymore. That's over with, right? That's all phoniness at the highest order. What are they going to take him back with open arms? He's our boy. That's the biggest crock of shack I've ever heard in my life. They can't stand him, his ego and his greed. I mean, whatever. Let's be clear. They're all greedy. Every guy on that team wants a ton of money. They all want more money than God can print. But that's all they play for. This rings and championships, that's old news. There's no one that plays for that anymore. No one. They all play for money. Trust me, you. There's no kid going through high school, college to get to the pros that's interested in, you know, if I win a championship, gravy. But it's all about money. It's all about money. You go pro in any sport, it's about money. It's not about anything else. All this fans and everything else. Please spare me that hurl. Mary Ellen in Virginia, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scotty.
Hey.
Hey, so since you're kind of fired up tonight, I thought I'd call and say something really stupid.
Awesome.
Well, can I get a Guinness?
Yeah, get her a Guinness.
Thank you. Do you think my alma mater, my Old Dominion Monarchs, can stay within 50 of Virginia Tech?
Well, the number is 28, and I would hope that, to be honest, if Virginia Tech could handle their business and win that game by 30 at least. They are a much better, bigger, faster, more athletic team than Old Dominion. Old Dominion is awful, and their coach is on the hot seat for sure, but it wouldn't matter who coached Old Dominion. They just don't get the type of players that are needed to win at the highest level.
They all go to Tech.
All that matters is they're going to get paid a lot of money to play in that game, and that's really what it's all about, making some money, because I'm sure they don't have quite the athletic budget that Virginia Tech has in Blacksburg.
No, they don't, because they're coming under some fire because they're spending a lot of money on the stadium. Because I used to play in the stadium that they have now.
Right.
They're coming under some fire for spending money on it.
I'm just excited that we've spent 2 minutes talking about Old Dominion anything.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Ted in Alabama.
Scott.
Hey, man. What's
up? I'm going to give you the whole first-time caller, you know, blah, 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 but you don't want to hear that.
Right.
So, yeah, exactly. That's old and tired. So, listen, first of all, your take on the whole stripper scene.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, by the way. Taking many customers in there.
Right.
Listen, that's all. That's tired.
You know what's funny? I drive by the Hustler Club every night, usually in my life, and I said to Mafia one night, I would go, can you believe how long this whole house has stood the test of time on the West Side Highway. The city of New York, I guarantee you, wants nothing to do with that strip club down on the West Side Highway. It's literally right in the middle of the city on, like, the busiest road in New York is the FDR and the West Side Highway, right? They're the two main drags that go along Manhattan, and they go along forever, the length of the city. And right in the middle of downtown, in the heart of the middle of Manhattan, is this gigantic strip club the size of a city block, and in its outer corners, they have giant pictures of chicks wearing nothing. And it is just the greatest, like ho house you've ever seen in your life. And you see the doorman standing out there every night of his life and just people flocking in there. And I said, this place has stood the test of time. You know this city doesn't want this club here, but they make so much money that it's just still here after all these years. 20 years, 30 years it's been standing there. And it just keeps going. It's amazing to me. And I've seen all of them come and go, Scores, Headquarters, all of them. And that place, I've never gone in there. I got better things to do with my life. But it's been there forever. And I always drive by. And it's the weirdest thing because I always look over at these two girls that they have in these pictures. They've had the same two chicks on the wall there for like 15 years. I'm like, hey, here's an idea. Why don't you change up the chicks once a year? Your little posters. Because they've had the same two posters up for 20 years. It's embarrassing. Anyway, I don't go to those places. But I think it's funny when they're in the middle of the city in a place that stands out like a sore thumb. There's like businesses, skyscrapers, people hustling and bustling, going to work. And then there's a big giant hoe house on the corner. There you go.
She's pretending to like you for $5 to grab your onions, right?
Yeah, so, just so I just want to be best friends with you. I mean, I'm sure you've had nothing but onions in your hands for the last month, too.
Right, right. So real quick to football, because your football show is awesome, dude.
Thank
your
you.
Your fire.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, man, fire, okay? But I got a big beat this last weekend, so I played a three-play parlay. You know, I had Vandy and the points.
Right.
Okay, that was easy money, right?
Right.
I had Bama and the points.
Right.
That was easy money.
Right.
Dude, here's where I got killed, though. I got killed on 69.5, Bama, Ole Miss for the total.
Right.
Probably should have stayed away from 69.
Listen,
right?
Stay away from those stupid totals to begin with. Listen, there's nothing worse than over-unders, in my opinion. You know, run lines, first five innings. I'm not a big fan of any of that. Like, some people don't like money lines. Then I don't care what you think. Secondly, everyone wants to hit spreads, right? And that's the hardest way to make a living. But that's what I do, money lines and spreads. You start doing these reverses, teasers, totals. There's no better way to ruin a three-leg parlay than a
five-team parlay.
Yeah, a five-teamer with a couple of totals of 69. Good luck. That'll be the one that kills you every time. Yeah, you had 50 games you could have chosen that you would have made easy money on, but you had to pick that number of all things. Like, you have to hit a number. That's like winning the lottery. Picking over-unders is the most dangerous way to make a living. No one knows ever, in my mind, ever, what the score of a football game will be before they kick it off. That's the funniest thing I've ever. Have you ever seen these guys on ESPN? Well, what do you think the score is going to be, Bill? Well, 16-14, Jeff. Thanks. What do you think, Dave? 24-20. And then everyone, they try to play that off as like they're not doing betting. They try to pretend like, what do you think the score will be? 62-20, John. Thanks. Is there anything worse than people that give score predictions? Is there anything worse than that in sports? No. Nick in Boston on the hub.
What's up, Scotty?
Hey, bro.
How you doing?
Shake it.
What do you think of the Red Sox bullpen situation will be like in the next month or so?
Well, they better hope that it's good because, I mean, obviously everything they've done up until this point has got them the best record in baseball, and they're the favorites to win the World Series. So, I mean, the bottom line is some people think it's Houston. And they certainly proved that they can win the World Series. It's been a few years for the Red Sox. What, 5 years this will be? So, but they've done it before where they had the best record. They've done it twice, 7-13, I believe. They won it both times with the best record. And I think that they've been the best team in baseball this year. If money talks, it would say bet on the Red Sox to win it all. And I won't be surprised at all. I have no idea who's going to be in it, but I know that, like the guy said tonight, if it's the Cubs and Red Sox, television wins, we all win. I think a Chicago-Boston World Series would be great. But it's strange how it never seems to work out that way. What everybody thinks is going to happen won't be the one. RJ in Cleveland.
Hey, Scotty.
Hey, man.
Hey, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan.
Right.
We have the same record as your Pittsburgh Steelers. What I'm saying is, what is Le'Veon Bell doing?
He's not playing. But the Browns play Thursday night against the Jets. Will they win finally?
No, they won't.
So the Browns are going to lose again.
They will, and Hugh Jackson will find a way to screw it up.
Wow. So you blame Hugh Jackson for that kicker missing all those kicks yesterday?
No, but I do. Watching Hugh Jackson for 2 years. He he has messed up so much clock management.
I actually think they're getting better, believe it or not. So I think he's doing a good job all of a sudden. I think this is the first year I'll judge him. When you take over the Browns, you take over like Satan's dirty dishes after eating for a year. I mean, they're so awful, that franchise, that they've never been good. So he took over a crap team, crap organization, crap front office, crap talent, and he's built it up till this. I think now it's actually in a place where you can judge him. They've looked pretty good to me in 2 weeks.
They're
going to
win on Thursday.
Allegedly, I think they might very well do it. But we thought that with the Jets on the game against Detroit, although I did bet on the Jets that night. Get the Pharrell on the Bets episode 19 tomorrow morning, a new fresh episode of my show. Follow me on Twitter at Pharrell. It's actually at On the Bets WWL. For Shep and Carver, hi, I'm Pharrell. Good night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.